In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What's all this about? What's going on? Those aren't unreasonable questions to ask on hearing today's text from the Revelation to St. John. What's being portrayed? When did, or is, or will all of this take place? What are we to make of the four living creatures and the 24 elders? Who is this Lamb? What is this scroll? As the saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. In the Revelation, the Lord showed John a whole series of pictures, as it were. Pictures of things beyond human experience or knowledge. Indeed, things that are almost beyond description. And the apostle was given the task of recording what he had seen, what had been revealed to him, for the church to read. Our text today takes us to the heavenly throne room and describes the coronation and enthronement of Jesus. What this suggests is that the things described here took place about the time the angels addressed the 11 apostles. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That is, what John describes here is a continuation of the account of Jesus' ascension, but this time not from an earthly, but from a heavenly perspective. It relates what happened in heaven when Jesus had ascended there. The one who was seated on the throne, holding a scroll, is God the Father. The four living creatures seem to be the same ones Ezekiel described in his report when the Lord called him. Later on in his prophecy, Ezekiel described those beings as the cherubim, that is, one of the kinds of angels the Lord created to serve him. The 24 elders seem to represent the church of all time, believers from the Old and the New Testament, perhaps 24 in reference to the 12 sons of Israel from the Old Testament era, and then the 12 apostles of the New. The Lamb who was slain, standing among the elders before the throne, is clearly Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist described him. For the elders sing to him, "You were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God." And yet, although this Lamb was slain to redeem sinners, he is nonetheless the living one, who died and behold is alive forevermore and has the keys of death and Hades. It's fitting that John first saw the Lamb standing among the elders, for this Lamb is God incarnate, one of us, sharing our human flesh, even as he is also truly the Son of God. Job had longed for such a one who could mediate between him and God, saying, "Would that there were an arbiter between us who might lay his hand on both of us." That's what Jesus, truly God and truly man, is able to do, indeed has done. By the blood of the cross, he has worked reconciliation between God and sinners. Work reconciliation with God for you. The scroll in the Father's right hand, sealed with seven seals, is the record of what will be, as described earlier to John, the things that must soon take place and what must take place after this. Essentially, it is everything that is recorded in the rest of the Revelation. The tribulation and suffering that would happen in the church and the world until Christ comes again. And in the light of this, even more importantly, assurance that in the midst of all these things, our loving Savior is still in charge, guiding and directing the events of this world according to His perfect wisdom and His unlimited power, guiding and directing them for the benefit of His church and for the eternal salvation of all who believe. The Apostle John had heard the angel ask, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll. And so John had begun to weep. He seemed to sense that the opening of the scroll would not only reveal the future, the ultimate destiny of humanity, but also involved who controlled what would happen in the future. So in opening the scroll, more than just making known what is to come, our risen Lord also shows that the future is all under His lordship, His control. It is not just random events without any direction or purpose. And it is not something yet to be worked out, for the time being undetermined, depending on who would eventually win the battle between good and evil. In being worthy to open the scroll, the Lamb, your Savior, reveals the result of His victory on the cross. The end has already been determined. It is now written in the book of Revelation, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where he will be tormented day and night forever. And the church, God's people, will come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the Lamb. And the dwelling place of God will be with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be their God, will be with them as their God, with you as your God. And He will wipe every tear from your eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And the Lord will make all things new. That's the way the story ends. That's the way it's going to turn out. No wonder then that when the Lamb had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before Him and sang a new song. If ever there were reason to rejoice and sing praise to God, this is it. In the presence of the victorious Lamb, the Savior and Redeemer of the world, now crowned and enthroned at God's right hand, interceding for His people, and ruling over all things for the benefit of the church, it is good, right, and salutary that the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven laud and magnify the glorious name of Jesus, the Lord who saves His people from their sin. And what a song this new song is. The Lamb is worthy to take the scroll and open it, to exercise all power and authority forever, because He was slain, and by His blood He has ransomed people throughout the world from before God, individuals from every tribe and language and people and nation. And these poor sinners, not even worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of their Savior's sandals, these He has elevated to become a kingdom and priests to God. As St. Peter wrote, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yet even this great praise wasn't enough. For the millions of angels, united with a loud voice, join in sevenfold praise, glorifying their crucified Lord by proclaiming him worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Earlier, John had recorded the elders praising God for his work of creation by declaring him worthy to receive glory and honor and power. The four things added here for Jesus, namely wealth and wisdom and might and blessing, are all connected with his saving work. And wonder of wonders, while Jesus alone is worthy to receive all these, he doesn't keep them for himself. He showers them on his people. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor so that you, by his poverty, might become rich, sharing in the riches of his glorious inheritance, to make you wise to salvation through faith in him. He has preserved the scriptures for you to hear and read and study. As by the working of his great might, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So Jesus is poised to exert this great might for your resurrection and for your eternal joy. As for blessings from Christ, what greater blessing could he give than the one of which King David writes? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord does not count his sin. And you have been so blessed in Christ. Your sins, all of them, forgiven by his blood. And this praise extended even beyond the angels. For John heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, praising God and the Lamb, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Indeed, it is so. To God and to the Lamb be blessing, and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.